Welcome to the 10-Minute Dose. Our speaker for today is Rabbi Herschel Welcher. His topic, selflessness. Rabbi Welcher.
I'm speaking on behalf of the 10-Minute Dose for the merit of Yisrael Ben Malka and all members of Klal Yisrael who are ill. May they, in the merit of this share, recover speedily from their illnesses. The topic today is selflessness. And I want to begin in the beginning of this week's portion in Parshas Tetzaveh. We have a portion which is very unique in the Torah, in that Moshe Rabbeinu is not mentioned by name. We have Moses is only referred to in the second person, V'atot Tetzaveh es b'nei Yisrael, V'yikru elecha shemen zayizoch, kosis lama'or, constantly in the second person, which is highly unusual from the time of the advent of Moshe. He's always referred to by name. We have a very famous commentary of the Baal HaTorah, where he tells us that this refers back to the incident which took place at the time of the Chet HaEgel, the golden calf, where Moshe Rabbeinu expressed himself, V'im ayin mecheini no misifr chosher kosofto. And he tells the Almighty that if you did not forgive the Jewish people for their serious breach of the worship of the golden calf, then mecheini no misifrach asher kosofto, then erase my name from your holy book, from the Torah itself. And generally, people take this as a negative comment concerning Moshe Rabbeinu, that he spoke in a very harsh fashion, that he should be erased from the Torah, and therefore a very great and righteous person, his speech has great significance, and anything that he utters comes to pass in some fashion, and therefore his name was removed from at least one portion of the Torah in fulfillment of this very harsh statement that he had made. I believe upon closer examination, the lesson of the Baal HaTorah is in fact a very different lesson altogether, and the perspective is in fact a very positive perspective. After the sin of the golden calf of the Chet HaEgel, the Almighty comes to Moshe Rabbeinu and he tells him that I will destroy the Jewish people, and I will build a new people from you Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu's response is, "Atom tisa chatoso." If you wish to forgive their sins, that's fine. And if not, mecheini no misifrach asher kosofto. Moshe Rabbeinu says to the Almighty that I have no personal significance. I have no role in history. My role solely is to serve the Jewish people. And therefore, despite the fact that you have told me, the Almighty says, stand back and allow me to destroy them, and I will make you into the mighty nation. The Jewish people will begin anew with Moshe Rabbeinu. And Moshe Rabbeinu then begins to beseech the Almighty, and he begs for their forgiveness. And finally he says, if you've forgiven the Jewish people, that's fine. If you haven't forgiven them, then I, Moshe Rabbeinu, will also disappear into the dustbin of history. I have no personal ego, no personal ambition. My role in the world is to serve the Jewish people. If I can continue in that fashion as the servant of the Jewish people, then I have a place in history. If there is no Jewish people, then there is no Moshe Rabbeinu. This, in fact, was an utterly selfless moment where Moshe Rabbeinu places himself as in the service of the Jewish people and sees his entire role and his entire ambition in life is to serve the Jewish people. In the absence of the Jewish people, Moshe says, I have no role either. And this is what's preserved in Parshas Tetzaveh, that we have a portion in the Torah which we do not name Moshe Rabbeinu, and for what purpose? To underscore his selflessness, that in a moment that he could have been taken by personal ambition, endorsed by the Almighty himself to be the founder of a new Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu humbly stands aside. Moshe Rabbeinu declares his role as the servant of the Jewish people, and the only possible role that he will have in history is in Tisa Chatosim, if you forgive and preserve the Jewish people. In the absence of the Jewish people, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I have no role whatsoever. And therefore, we underscore the selflessness of Moshe Rabbeinu, his total dedication and subjugation to the Jewish people, by the fact that we do not include his name in Parshas Tetzaveh. And I believe we have a similar lesson of selflessness at the very end of Megillas Esther, the holiday of Purim, is just around the corner, will occur next week. And the Megillas Esther ends, the final verse is, Ki Mordechai HaYehudi, Mishnah LeMelech HaChashverosh. Mordechai, the Jew, was the viceroy of Melech HaChashverosh. He was second in command to the Melech HaChashverosh. Godol HaYehudim, he was great amongst the Jewish people. Rotzu L'Rovecha, admired by most of his brethren, Dorish Toyu L'Amo, he sought the good of his nation, V'Dorish Shalom L'Chol Zaro, and he sought to bring peace and tranquility to all of his children, to all the Almighty's children, that is. And the question very simply is, why does this Megillah end with somewhat a left-handed compliment, V'Rotzu L'Rovecha? That most of the Jewish people liked him. He had interceded in very timely fashion to save the lives of millions of Jewish people from the certain Holocaust to be brought upon them by Haman. And yet, Rotzi L'Rovechov, and Rashi, in fact, comments, V'loi L'Cholechov, not all the Jews were in agreement with him. Melame, the teacher, Shapir Shumimen Amikta Sanhedrin, that some of his colleagues on the great court, on the Sanhedrin, separated themselves from him. They were critical of him, Lefisha Nasa Korob the Malchus, because he became involved in the world of politics while Yabotom Italudo, and he did not invest as much time as he had previously in his Jewish learning, in his study of the Holy Torah. And although it's certainly true that there were some that were critical of him, but is it necessary? Is the epitaph to Mordechai Yehudi? The last words we have to say about him are a left-handed compliment, that Rotzu L'Rovecha, that he had adversaries and he had opposition. But I think that the lesson that we're meant to learn from this is something very positive about Mordechai. The question arises, why in fact did Mordechai, one of the leaders, the great scholars of his age, one of the leaders of the Sanhedrin, of the great court, why did he suddenly leave the world of the Sanhedrin, of Jewish learning and Jewish law, and enter the world of politics? A most unusual decision for a person of this background and this stature to suddenly, at this point in his life, enter the world of politics. I believe the answer lies in the fact that Mordechai was troubled with the possibility that the Jew haters in Ahasuerus' kingdom would seize the moment after the demise of Haman, and they would seek to avenge the death of the 75,000 citizens, co-citizens of the Persian Empire who died at the hands of the Jewish people. They would avenge the lives of these Jew haters. And Mordechai was concerned. Our forefather, Yaakov Avinu, had expressed similar concern, that after his children had destroyed the city of Shechem, that the Canaanim would gather together and wipe them out, and to avenge the death of the citizens of Shechem. And this similarly concerned Mordechai Yehudi. So we ended the world of politics. His prime minister, he had the possibility of protecting the Jewish people. And he understood when he ended the world of politics that the decision would be controversial, and some of his closest colleagues amongst the greatest scholars in the Jewish people would in fact come out against him. And what we're singing in this verse is the great praise of Mordechai Yehudi, that he was undeterred by the anticipated criticism of some of the greatest scholars amongst the Jewish people, He felt that if this was what was necessary to save the Jewish people, he would undertake it, enter the prime minister's office, and accept the slings and arrows hurled in his direction by those that did not disagree with his decision. His selflessness, his willingness to embrace the love of the Jewish people at all costs, even at great personal cost to himself, was something that he was willing to do. He was undeterred by the potential criticism that he foresaw. And therefore, we praise him greatly at the end of this Megillah that he achieved his salvation of the Jewish people because of his selflessness. Good night, and I thank you.
Thank you, Rabbi Welcher, for your inspirational words. This product has been brought to you by The 10-Minute Dose.